Lecture topic: Aspiring for Akhirat.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salam ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم صدق الله العظيم. Most respected students of Deen, mothers and sisters, this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions it. Adam alayhi salam learned some kalimat, some expressions from Allah Ta'ala. He gained it and then he presented his repentance to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala forgave him. So to start off with, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are completely sinless. They are ma'asum. They commit and can never commit any sin. And they are all the time in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. What did happen sometimes, that there was a complete, something that happened completely in error. So disobedience is something deliberate. Disobedience is something where the person deliberately does something. A simple example to understand what is a mistake and what is deliberate. A person is fasting and he does not remember his fasting. And in that complete forgetfulness, he ate or drank something. So everybody knows the mas'ala, that his fast doesn't break, his fast is still intact. And the other is another level, though mistake, he's forgiven for that mistake too, but it will break the fast, that he's conscious that he's fasting, he's aware he's fasting, was gargling his mouth in wudu, but at that time something happened, maybe just coughed, or some, and as a result some water went down the throat. So now that will break the fast, but he's not going to be sinful because it was a total mistake. So now these are different levels. One is complete forgot about the command or the fact that one was fasting. The other is remembering the fast, but something happened in sheer mistake. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all this. In one instance, the qaza will be made. The other instance, nothing has happened to the fast also, but there is no accountability for it. Person will not be taken to task. So something of this nature sometimes happen from the Anbiya alayhi salam as well, that something happened in complete forgetfulness. Allah Ta'ala willed it so, but they never ever commit and never ever committed any wrong, any sin. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded to refrain from eating from a certain tree. But in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. He forgot and he consumed from that tree. Allah says there was no deliberate intent on his part. He did not deliberately do something that was not in order. He forgot. So there was no sin. But despite the fact that there was no sin here, despite the fact that this was completely a mistake, but both Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, both of them turned to Allah Ta'ala with words of repentance. And that is what is being referred to in this ayat that was recited, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. The words of repentance Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, so that we can also latch onto it. And the words of repentance were, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So Allah Ta'ala inspired these words of repentance into their hearts. This is what is being referred to in the ayat, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. Allah Ta'ala inspired this. And then they turn to Allah Ta'ala in these words, and when they sought sincere forgiveness, though there was no sin on their path, Allah Ta'ala then gave them even a higher position. So what the point in this is, that this was the expression of their genuine humility and servitude, that there was no pride whatsoever. There was complete submission to Allah Ta'ala. When a person has sincerity, and when a person has humility, these are two very essential things. Sincerity, without sincerity, everything will be lost. If a person doesn't have ikhlas, doesn't have sincerity, is doing good things with bad intentions. Bad intentions to do things for praise, for name and fame, to make an impression on people, it's all part of bad intentions, very bad intentions. So a person is doing a good act, performing salah very nicely, mashallah, but the hope is that this person must see me and must think very good of me. This is obviously now a serious problem. This is doing something for other than Allah Ta'ala. And doing something for other than Allah Ta'ala is riya. A good action of deen, doing it for other than Allah Ta'ala is riya. And that is now going to destroy that deed. So one is ikhlas, sincerity. Whatever is done, to be done for Allah Ta'ala alone. So if a person is sincere, what sincerity demands? The person who's sincere will keep checking and double checking and triple checking, that will this be a means of pleasing Allah Ta'ala? What I want to say, what I want to do, will this earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Now when a person is going to be checking all the time and be conscious all the time, be concerned all the time, that my statement that I'm going to make now, what action I want to do now, is it going to be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala? When that is going to become the concern, and that is going to be what a person is all the time checking and double checking, then we'll get saved from acting on the dictates of nafs, on the dictates of this lowly self within us, that it wants to impress people, wants to show off, wants to keep one's position now. So therefore, as a result, what happens? Person doesn't accept one's own mistake. Because now if I accept that I was wrong, then what people will think of me, or somebody, what they'll say. Now in order to avoid some negative comment from somebody, or what we think people might then have some impression about us, a negative impression, so we want to save ourselves from that. So now the person does so many things to try and prevent that so-called impression getting affected. That image, the positive image we want to create in the hearts of people. So now for that, we refuse to accept our mistake. We made a mistake about something, but we're not prepared to accept it. We will try to justify it in some way or the other. Now this stems from a lack of ikhlas, and together with that, a lack of humility. If either there's no ikhlas, and sometimes a person has some level of ikhlas, but there's pride also still lurking in the heart. So the element of pride also is batarul haqq, rejecting the truth. So when a person has ikhlas, they are genuinely sincere, they're doing things for Allah Ta'ala. So whether it's in the four walls of the home, we're doing something, we're not going to do it just because we want some praise. Whether it is anywhere else, we will do it for Allah Ta'ala. So either, or if a person has ikhlas, then in the process of doing things, we are insan, we might err, and we do err, person will have no issue with accepting correction. If somebody has corrected us, we'll wholeheartedly accept it. There won't be any issue with it. Why? because we are concerned that Allah Ta'ala must be pleased. And in order to earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, we need to do the things that are correct. And if somebody is correcting us, then they're doing us a very great favor. And as a result, they are helping us. So we should be very grateful to them. But if a class is missing, very hard to accept that, okay, this was my fault. If not, that we won't reject it, but we'll have some kind of, some explanation we'll have to give of it to try to still maintain the image or still maintain it that we were not wrong. But that is a very, very negative approach and a very harmful approach. So one is sincerity and the other is humility. To be humble. Be the humble slave of Allah Ta'ala. The image we must be creating is that Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. Not just for the appearance, the reality. Allah must become pleased with us. Because Allah is aware of everything. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. He knows what is hidden and what is completely concealed. Everything Allah knows. What is apparent, what is hidden, is all in front of Him. So we cannot hide our intentions from Allah Ta'ala. We cannot hide what we are hiding from people and think we got away from Allah Ta'ala as well. He knows whatever we are saying, what we are doing, what's going on, what we are hiding. Allah is aware of everything. So the other is humility. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, what is clear from their response when Allah Ta'ala asked them, Alam anhakuma antilkuma shajarati wa aqullakuma inna shaitana lakuma aduwwum mubeen. That did I not forbid you from that tree and I told you shaitan is your open enemy? So their response, قَالَا رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَخْفِلْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They immediately turned to Allah Ta'ala in repentance, whereas they could have given the response, but I forgot, or we forgot. And Allah Ta'ala has already forgiven when something has happened completely in forgetfulness. Like we understood the example, even the fast won't break. So they could have presented that. There was no harm in saying that in terms of apparent thinking. But they didn't do that. Whereas if that's what they said, it would have been 100% correct. There was nothing wrong about what they were saying. But they did not do that. What did they do? They turned to Allah Ta'ala in utmost humility. قَالَا رَبَّنَا وَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Rabb, we have oppressed ourselves, subhanAllah. Can we imagine at what level they are humbling themselves, that despite the fact that this was not even any level of sin, and it was a matter of complete forgetfulness, which they are not accountable for, but they are describing it as zulm upon themselves. قَالَا رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have committed zulm upon ourselves. Now who can say this in this manner? A person who is genuinely regretful and remorseful, even on something that was not a sin, but why it happened in that way, I should have been more careful, I should have done it correctly. Now though it was no sin, but now that Allah Ta'ala must not be displeased with me. So they turn in utmost humility to Allah Ta'ala. Now this stems from that ikhlas and the humility. The sincerity and the humility. Now it's a point for us to reflect. All these incidents mentioned in the Quran Sharif, this incident that is there about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha is also part of this incident. So it's mentioned in the Quran not for us to just learn a historical fact or something just for the exams. It is a lesson for life. For our lives. That in every situation, we must make sure what we are saying, what we are doing, is with sincerity. It's for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. There isn't ulterior motives in it. It's not just being nasty or rude or just being difficult unnecessarily. I'll fix this person, I'll show them a point, I'll get mine back. Whatever, all the things that shaitan and nafs drive a person to. No, I am the humble slave of Allah Ta'ala. Others also the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to try to do what is best, what will bring me closer to Allah Ta'ala. If now forgiving somebody is going to bring me closer, I'll do that. If humbling myself and accepting my mistake, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, I'll do it. Now then, when this will happen? If there is sincerity and humility. So, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and our mother Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha have taught us a very, very big lesson. Whereas they were not sinful here, they did not deliberately do anything wrong. Now let us think about the situations in our lives. How many times, for example, our parents may perhaps advise us on some matter, let alone maybe reprimanding because they thought maybe we doing something that's not in order or whatever. Even if they gave us some good advice, how many times it happens that a parent complains, I was merely advising my son or my daughter, and they started snapping back that, what do you mean by telling me this? You think I'm involved in all this wrong? Whereas advice, mashallah, it doesn't mean if a person is being advised, for example, general advice a person is being given, that look, don't ever misuse the phone. Now, for example, general advice. So if somebody was given that advice, and alhamdulillah, they never ever misused the phone. Alhamdulillah, very great aspect. And in this time and age, when people just slip by, and this person is keeping firm, alhamdulillah, this is a very great thing. So, now somebody is giving the advice, don't ever misuse the phone, and this person never ever misused the phone. So is it something to get angry about that, why are you giving me this advice? What do you think of yourself? Who are you to tell me? What you think, am I also guilty of this? All the kind of statements that are made of this nature, when somebody advises us, is that correct? If somebody advised us not to misuse the phone, and alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, we have been staying far away from any misuse or abuse. So has the person harmed us in any way? Has the person caused us some loss? Gave us good advice, alhamdulillah, and we appreciate that advice, make shukr for it. Inshallah, we'll get greater tawfiq if we're staying away from whatever the wrongs are. This advice, we appreciated it. Inshallah, we'll get more tawfiq. But now, if the reaction is negative, who are you, don't you think, or do you think that I am guilty of this, and what's your problem? So in other words, we are rejecting good advice, that stems from pride. It's advice, alhamdulillah, and good advice, very good advice. So why should we take offense? What is the reason that we are offended? The offense is due to the pride. So we need to remove the pride. We need to learn this humility. And for all seniors and adults, and including the people who are studying with us, our classmates, we must be humble with all. And be very approachable and ready to accept any correction. If somebody is correcting us, we should not conduct ourselves in such a way that the person to start off with will be scratching their head 10 times, that should I tell this person or not? So now why must think 10 times? See, now if I tell this person, then this person has a habit of then telling you 10 things. So in other words, attack is the best form of defense. Now this person corrected me, I need to defend myself. So how am I going to defend myself? I'm going to attack him back. Whereas in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, وَإِنِ امْرُؤٌ شَتَمَكَ أَوْ عَيَّرَكَ بِمَا يَعْلَمُ فِيكَ فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ. فَإِنَّمَا وَبَالُهُ وَبَالُ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. If somebody abuses you verbally, shatamaka, person has been swearing, or whatever else might have been said, or Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further says, أَوْ أَيَّرَكَ, he taunted you about something that he knows about you. So he or she taunted you about some weakness, some problem you have. So what is the advice? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ. You don't respond in the like manner. You don't taunt the person based on some weakness that you know about him. Some problem that he has or she has, and you are aware of it. So you don't go in that same direction. If somebody is behaving in a lowly manner, in a despicable manner, then you don't follow suit. Maintain the high level of morality. Maintain the respect. Don't just go stoop down to the level that some others have stooped down already. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ. Don't get back into the same rut and the same cycle, and don't taunt the person over something you know about him, because the sin of this will be on his head. So you don't share that sin with him. Forgive it, very good, but otherwise don't share the sin by you also getting involved in a similar thing. So this is the teaching that Shariat has given us, that we don't go about taunting people or making a public announcement of somebody else's mistake, etc. And then if somebody corrects us, we can't take the correction, we have a problem with it, we're taking offense instead. So number one is this humility, the sincerity, and alongside is humility. And you should keep checking. In fact, it will be very useful if we have these two words written somewhere where our gaze will fall regularly on our desk. On one corner we have a small little page there with these two words written there. Sincerity and humility. Maybe on the corner of the board in the class, these two words, sincerity and humility. That every time we see it, we are being reminded that I must check my intentions, I must double check it and make sure I do what is going to be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. I don't fall into anything that will be displeasing to Him. So we need to double check this and repeatedly check. And when we will adopt this approach, inshallah, because we are wholeheartedly accepting correction, so a lot of our islah will get made in this manner through people around us who are like we are in whatever category, they are the same. They doing their faraiz, their farsala and so on. But they just taking life for granted afterwards, taking things casually. So now, when this correction will be accepted, that will improve. You don't carry on like that. We just take it for granted. I'm fine. Whereas when we get corrected and we accept the correction, we'll understand that was not fine. I need to move forward in deen now. I need to do more. I need to do better. So this aspect is a very, very crucial aspect, that we have to humble ourselves. We have to turn to Allah Ta'ala in genuine humility, genuine submission, and beg Allah's forgiveness, and listen to our seniors. They are teaching us, they are helping us to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. We should be very appreciative of this. It's not just something just being done like an academic thing in some school. This is connecting us to Allah Ta'ala. So we need to be very respectful and always bear in mind this lesson, that sincerity and humility, then we'll be able to act correctly. Otherwise, if the pride is allowed to take its to root itself in, that pride, Allah forbid, where will take us? And where will destroy us? And what kind of harm it will cause to us? And likewise, the lack of sincerity will become a very severe matter on the day of Qiyamah. So in this regard, we need to keep checking in our lives, keep humbling ourselves. How are we going to make ourselves humble? So one very simple prescription. Very simple prescription. Very simple in the sense, very easy to do. No difficulty involved. And no time really involved, no cost at all. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-badi'u bis-salam, bari'um min al-kibr." The one who initiates salam, who is the one who first makes salam, such a person will become free of pride. Now, one is that everything is fine between us and somebody. We are good friends. So now when we pass each other, so each one is very cheerfully, wholeheartedly making salam. Unfortunately, many a times we don't make salam. Sometimes simply because now, I don't know who's this person, but we know he's a Muslim. The signs are all there. Person is dressed as a Muslim. I don't know who's this person, so why should I make salam? Oh, that person too should make salam, so why tell me only? All the excuses we make for ourselves and get deprived. When a person has this approach, we get deprived. So to make salam common, that's the instruction in the Hadith Sharif. Afshu salam abaydakum. Make salam common, spread salam among the people. So in any case, this person who we are talking about, initiating salam. So with young, with old, anybody, we be the one to initiate the salam. And the effect of this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, bari'um min al-kibr, will become free of pride. So one is a situation where everything is fine between us and somebody we now saw, we meeting, we passing, then we'll cheerfully make salam. And that is if we make it. Sometimes people don't make. But then, supposing there is some issue with somebody, for whatever reason, we are not too thrilled about that person, we're not feeling very happy about the person, then what do we do? So now, if we see that person coming from the opposite end, we'll suddenly remember that I forgot something, I need to take a U-turn also. But that U-turn is not because I really forgot something, it's just because now I have to, in this corridor, I'll have to walk past the person. So now, if I walk past, I'm going to have to make salam. I don't make salam. So to avoid the salam, we are avoiding even where the salah is being performed with jama'ah, where we could have benefited in our deen, we got our own problem with that. What a deprivation, what a terrible loss. And where is this loss stemming from? From the pride, from the lack of sincerity. So we should spell it out that I made this mistake, and I nevertheless apologized, and inshallah I've been forgiven by the people concerned also, and also Allah Ta'ala forgive me. When we will take this approach, people will come more with corrections. And when they come more with corrections, we'll have a better opportunity of correcting ourselves. And we'll be able to make progress in this. Otherwise, we'll go in the same circle. So we need to turn to Allah Ta'ala in all sincerity, all humility, and also beg our forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. And likewise, the people around us, if we have erred somewhere, we seek their forgiveness. Going forward, we be open for correction. And if supposing when somebody corrects us, we think this person is misinformed or didn't understand the issue correctly, doesn't matter, keep quiet about it. If you want to clarify it later, by all means, in a very nice way, in a humble way, but at that time, listen carefully and wholeheartedly accept from our seniors whatever they've told us. And in this way, inshallah, we will see the special nusrat and the help of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the message and the lesson that we have to learn from these incidents of the Quran Sharif and become the true and humble slaves of Allah Ta'ala. This is what's going to benefit us and protect us and take us from strength to strength and make us very close to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala guide us and give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله. For that position, as a result, that Zahir also got destroyed. So now the Batin also has to be corrected. Effort has to be made for that. One very great personality, Sheikh Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he passed away. A very great personality. After he passed away, so now the son, who was taking life quite easy and casual while his father was around, not taking too much interest. Now after the father passed away, his eyes opened. Now he realized what I lost out on. People came from far and wide, and I didn't take the benefit. So now he inquired from people, who was the one who took the greatest benefit from my father? So he said, so and so in Balkh. Now where's Gango and where's Balkh? So he traveled all the way. As he's on his way, the news already reached the Khalifa of that Sheikh in Balkh, that the son of the Sheikh is coming. So now they waited as the time approached. Those days with no communication that we have nowadays. Finally the message came, he's going to arrive any time. So the half the town, all the whole town came along with this now Sheikh of this place to come and receive this son of the Sheikh. And they welcomed him and received him with great amount of ikram and honor. And for 3 days now he's staying here, being treated as a royalty, being given this VIP treatment. After 3 days passed, now the Sheikh is asking him, the son of Sheikh Abdul Qundus Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, that what brought you all the way here? 3 days have passed now, so now is there something that you have come in for something specific so we can attend to that? So something brought you, or you just came for a visit, what is it? So his reply was, that I've come to take from you that wealth which you took from my father. So really, you've come for that? So yes, that's what I've come for. So well, if that is what you've come for, then now the whole system changes now. Because that wealth is not gained by sitting in the lap of luxury and comfort here. That wealth is attained in a different way. Now in those days, this was the vigorous manner in which people put themselves through in order to gain this wealth. They were ready for whatever it took. So he said, no, that's what I've come for. So he said, well, if that is the case, so number one, all this very, very, like sort of royal clothing that we made you wear when you came out of honor for you, now you will have to change this and change into this very, very simple coarse clothing. No problem. And then what? What wazifa? What I have to do? The wazifa is that you just keep cleaning the gutter. The gutter used to be the open sewer of that time. That you just keep cleaning the whole day. That's the wazifa. Now, there are many things that a person now lurk within him. That anger, the pride. That anger stems out of that pride. So many other things. Now one of the biggest issues becomes his pride. So in any case, say very well, now he's carrying on, that's a wazifa, day in, day out. And know that, okay, how many days are you going to stay here? I came for 40 days, 39 days gone now, tomorrow I'm going chutti. He says, come for an objective, when that objective has been achieved, then we'll talk about going. That was a general system in that time.
So people end up spending sometimes years. So in any case, time is passing, and that's it, that's his wazifa. Perform his salah, carry on with the basics, and this is the wazifa. Then one day, the bucket carrier, the sheikh says to him, that when you're going past, that you just brush past this person. And those days, that was the way that the toilets were. So now, this person whose job used to be to clean the toilet out and clear that bucket, used to be regarded as not just a very lowly and mean person, lowly person, but has nothing lowly about the person himself. He's earning his halal, earning in that manner. But people would not, they would feel very uncomfortable, obviously. So he says, you just go close to him and just sort of brush past him. And then observe whatever the response is and you come report it. Now this was the kind of testing that used to happen. So in any case, this is what happened. This person now passed by, close by. So when he passed close by, this son of Sheikh Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who has now come here for this wealth that his father had passed on, in a lot of anger he looked at him, very angrily. And all he said to him was, Ke na raha Gango. In other words, you lucky, this is not Gango, not where I come from. If you did this there, we would have taught you a lesson. But now I'm here in somebody else's boundaries, so to say my hands are tied. Otherwise I would have taught you a lesson. So he said this in a lot of anger, and this person just heard that quietly and went away. And he went and reported it. When this report reached, so this was now the x-ray that was happening. He said, no, this is not yet done. Far from done. This is far from done. It might have a lot of improvement, might have happened, but far from done. After some time, he told him, do the same thing again. But this time you go about in such a way that you even spill some of the filth on him. Now as he's going past, he does as was instructed. So this time round, again with a lot of anger, he looked at him, but said nothing. Whereas this time it was worse. First time round, nothing was spilled on him. But this time again, he looked with anger, but said nothing. So when this report was given, he said, still improvement is there, improvement noted, but still room for improvement too. There's still work to be done. After further some time passed, and now your job, the wazifa of the day, was to just keep cleaning that sewer. After some time passed again, he says, this time round, you pretend to trip and fall, let everything fall on him. When he did as instructed, this person in response, he jumped up to say, you didn't get hurt? Not worried about himself. Didn't bother anything about what's his condition. He is jumping up to help. That did you fall, you got hurt. When this report came, says, now the work got done. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. When the person has made the correct effort, then now that reward comes from Allah Ta'ala accordingly also. And these were the people that then one person was enough to bring light to a whole vast area. One incident to finish up on. This is approximately maybe about just over 200 years ago in India. The king of the time, Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash Rahmatullah Ali, he is the king of the time of India. And the very great personality and saint of that time, Khaja Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullah Ali, he passed away. And when he passed away, now the janaza was ready, but at that time already his wasiyat was opened out. So now the wasiyat, he had written in the wasiyat that person must perform my salatul janaza who has these three things in him. If he has these three things, then only he is qualified to perform my salatul janaza. Number one, from the time he's become baligh, he has never missed any salah with takbir ula. Number two, his four rakat sunnat before asar, never missed it since then. And number three, he never cast a glance at a non-mahram deliberately. Now, subhanallah, such the first two things, very great amal, but not even on a level of compulsory. And the third, obviously a very important aspect, is haram to look at any non-mahram in that manner. But now he made this a precondition, or this wasiyat. In any case, now the janaza is ready, so now this person, somebody is announcing, look, the Shaykh has made this wasiyat, so whoever this applies to, please come forward and perform the janaza salah. Now nobody is responding. Now they are all, a lot of people present, great personalities present, but now this is not something. From the time a person became baligh, never missed one takbir-e-ula, never missed his four rakats, sunnat before asr, never ever cast a wrong glance in his life, deliberately. So now the announcement has been made, and a second time, and a third time, and time is passing. And eventually when nobody ventured forward, and now things are getting delayed, and people are wondering now what's going to happen, nobody is coming forward, so how long is this going to be delayed? Eventually when nobody came forward, the king of the time, Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tamash Rahmatullah Ali, he came forward. And he says, this was something I wanted to take to my grave, between me and Allah Ta'ala. But the Shaykh today exposed my secret. And obviously people realized that he would not have made this kind of wasiyat if he was not aware that there was somebody this applied to. He was aware that this applied to him. But he made this apparent in a very ajeeb way, that by making this wasiyat, so he says, till I wanted to take this secret to my grave, but the Shaykh exposed it. Now nobody, I was hoping somebody else would come forward so I would still remain in the shadows and nobody would know, and I waited and waited, but since nobody else is coming forward and the concern is now that it's going to get very delayed, so I am now forced to come forward and fulfill this as per the wasiyat. But now the point and the lesson for us, even the king of the time, now one is okay, mashallah, he had a very good start, very good tarbiyat, etc. But eventually he became king too. And eventually he had all the whole dunya around him. But even in that time, this continued in that level of piety, being the king of the time already now. But that didn't become an obstacle in his progress getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. Still his takbir-e-ula didn't get missed. Still his four rakat sunnat before asr didn't get missed. What can be any question of his missing his farz? Or his sunnat mu'akkada? And his piety still remained, despite now being king of the time, all the wealth might have been pouring at his feet, and whatever else, but that didn't become an obstacle in getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. Regardless of whatever happened in terms of his position in dunya, but that didn't stop his progress or his effort for the akhirat. His effort for the akhirat continued. So now this effort for akhirat, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, all the faraiz being fulfilled, the wajibat being fulfilled, the sunnahs being fulfilled as best as we can, the sunnat mu'akkada never compromised, the ghair mu'akkada as well, making an effort with nawafil, tilawat of the Qur'an Sharif, daily time for dhikr, for dua and beseeching Allah Ta'ala, making every effort to stay away from every haram, every makruh tahrimi, all this is part of wasa'a laha sa'yaha. Making an effort to cleanse our hearts of that pride, malice, jealousy, of all the other evils, this is wasa'a laha sa'yaha. Wa huwa mu'min, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah Ta'ala is very appreciative. The barakat of that comes in dunya already. And dunya, what can dunya really encompass? The real reward of that is waiting in the akhirat for such people. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make us also among them, that those who truly aspire for the akhirat and make its due effort, Allah Ta'ala accept us for that and grant us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Decide which one. ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله La ilaha illallah 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam tasliman kathira Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawanuhu Allah
تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم العالمين يا الله. Oh most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. إله العالمين يا الله. Forgive us يا الله. يا الله forgive all our immediate minuses يا الله. إله العالمين يا الله. Despite all your countless bounties and ni'mats يا الله. Every single thing is your bounty and ni'mat يا الله. إله العالمين يا الله. Yet we have been so ungrateful يا الله. يا الله we use your bounties to break your commands يا الله. يا الله forgive us يا الله. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our shamelessness, Ya Allah. Forgive our, Ya Allah, ingratitude, Ya Allah. Forgive our disloyalty, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Grant us a tawfiq of doing all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make the akhirat our aspiration, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us dream, Ya Allah, about how to get close to you, Ya Allah. About how to make an effort to become the true believers, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our aspiration Jannat, Ya Allah. Make our aspiration seeing you in Jannat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Remove the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the love of the ego, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the malice, the jealousy, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove all the evils from the heart, Ya Allah. Fill the heart with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill the heart with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let every vein flow with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the love of his Mubarak way of life, Ya Allah. Enable us to live his Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts
hearts with the love of deen, ya Allah, with the love of the amal of deen, ya Allah, with the love of the efforts of deen, ya Allah. Accept us and our progenies till qiyamah for the khidmat of deen, ya Allah, with ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabooliyat, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah, all those are sick, give them shifai kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, ya Allah. Allah, those are in hospitals, ya Allah, give them complete shifai and afiyat, ya Allah. Bring them back to their homes with total sihat and afiyat, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah, those in any kind of, ya Allah, financial difficulty, remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Those are in debts, make their debts get paid out with ease and afiyat, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, whatever difficulty anybody is in, ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, throughout the world, ya Allah, any Muslim that is any suffering, any pain, any hardship, ya Allah, you remove it with afiyat, ya Allah. Grant each one afiyat in deen, ya Allah, afiyat in dunya, ya Allah. Allah, save us from tests and trials, ya Allah. Allah, we are too weak, ya Allah. Allah, don't put us to trial, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, forgive us, ya Allah. Allah, you forgive us, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, without testing us, ya Allah, forgive us, ya Allah. Allah, grant us jannatul firdaus without any reckoning, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering, ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah, our brothers and sisters of Palestine and Gaza, ya Allah. Allah, you shower your special karam on them, ya Allah. Your special fazl on them, ya Allah. Allah, you remove the difficulties, ya Allah. You protect them, ya Allah. Strengthen them against their enemies, ya Allah. Allah, you grant them victory over their enemies, ya Allah. Allah, you grant their enemies also hidayat, ya Allah. If hidayat is not decree for them, ya Allah, you wipe them out from the face of this earth, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, they are hungry, ya Allah. Allah, you send food for them, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, they are thirsty, ya Allah. Allah, you shower your waters on them, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, grant them afiyat in every matter, ya Allah. Accept their shuhada, ya Allah. Allah, accept their shuhada, ya Allah. Allah, the blood of the shuhada, accept it, ya Allah. Make it a means of hidayat spreading on every inch of that land, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, every inch of the world, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, you grant us afiyat in every matter, ya Allah. Keep us steadfast on deen, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah, all those who have passed away, ya Allah, make them complete maghfirat, ya Allah. Raise their stages in the akhirat, ya Allah. At the time of our death, take us with la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah, take us on iman kamil, ya Allah, on tawbat and nasuh, ya Allah. Allah, fill our qabars with, ya Allah, noor, ya Allah. Make it a garden of Jannah, ya Allah. Allah, grant us, ya Allah, the shafaat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, give us jannatul firdaus without any reckoning, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah, all the du'as that we have made, ya Allah, out of your grace, bless us with it, ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, ya Allah, grant us that as well, ya Allah. And all those who asked us to make du'a for them, we have raised their hands with this du'a. Allah, you fulfill each one's dire needs, pious aspirations. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Grant afiyat to each one, ya Allah. Grant tremendous khair and barakah in each one's rizq, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, our greatest need, ya Allah. And every single person's greatest need, ya Allah. Allah, that we become yours, ya Allah. That you become ours, ya Allah. Allah, we have you, we have everything, ya Allah. We can have everything, but we don't have you, we have nothing, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. You become ours, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, you keep us with afiyat, ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا تقبل منا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله.